Yeah, that was good depth though from Parry, because she was under pressure from the return, but dealt with it well. 3-4, Anisimova serves. Just takes the pace off, but misses. Just waits a moment, bounces the ball three times, and then goes with the second serve. She spins with not much on it, only 131k, but then hits the forehand into the net. And there's the mini break once more for Parry. You hear what the crowd think of that. 5-3 Parry.
Wow.
Halfway there.
She has given so many free points in the tiebreak already, Anisimova. Parry has to take advantage of this.
Felicity says, hearing Sophie's very helpful explanations of rackets play makes me realise that it probably helps to have an understanding of physics if you're going to play tennis.
Totally. Physics and geometry. And ballet and dancing and balance, very important in tennis.
All those things.
Yes.
5-3 second serve.
Oh my goodness!
Second serve from Anisimova. The ball hit the end of the racket and ballooned over the baseline for a double fault that didn't even land in the court. Wow.
Well, talk about nerves.
I mean, we've all done it.
Talk about nerves. But, you know, this makes you feel like, one, they're human. Two, it happens to all of us.
Just decelerating on that serve, and the ball hit the top of the end of the racket, not even the strings, and just flew way over the baseline. 6-3 Parry. Remember, first to 10.
Merci.
Still a distance to go yet. But it's Parry serving. Two serves to come. Very deliberate service motion. But waits because the ball tosses in the wrong place. And goes again. Serve into the net. Kick serve out wide.
Nice. She's going to be gutsy. Anisimova and go for it on the return.
Probably. She's been going for lots. Will she make it?
Oh boy.
The ball toss starting to go. That's a sign of nerves. Second serve. It's a good kick serve. Anisimova hammers the backhand down the middle of the court. Forehand inside in from Parry. Maybe the best one she's hit in the match. 7-3.
That is grand, Simon. Wow. Talk about technique here. Moving around the ball so quickly to have enough room between her and the ball for a racket head to go through it with this inside-out winner forehand. Listen to that crowd. First to 10, 7-3.
Messieurs, dames, merci. Petit silence.
Great atmosphere here on court Philippe Chatrier. Great atmosphere too on Longlin as Moise Kwame has a set point against Tabilo. But it's 7-3 Parry against Anisimova here in the tiebreak to decide it. Serve out wide as a firework goes off from the nearby pre-match celebrations. PSG, the Champions League, and another. Parry just takes a moment. Not easy to concentrate for the players. Good serve out wide, though, and a forehand return way wide from Anisimova. It's 8-3, Parry. Oh, Anisimova's mind has gone here.
8-3,
wow.
Parry.
Just going for broke on the return, and it was nowhere near the court, really.
I mean, it is a solid tiebreak, nonetheless, from Parry, but oh boy, did Anisimova check out from the first point on.
Mesdames et messieurs,
all that hard work to get into this tiebreak. And then she's just given too many errors away. Serve down the tee. There's nothing on that serve. Maybe she's lost the rhythm. Just 143k that first serve. Totally taking the pace off. But
double fault, I'm sorry to
could say. Be. Second serve. Just about clears the net. Slice backhand from Parry is deep. Forehand from Anisimova is miles over the baseline. Her mind is gone. It is 9-3. And as they change ends, Diane Parry has six match points.
Was that, what, six enforced error in this tiebreak from the racket? I mean, Anisimova completely checked out. I think that first point, really, when she misses that forehand, and then, let's not talk about the double fault.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, that last forehand was like there was no spin on the ball whatsoever. It just smacked it miles long. 9-3. The crowd absolutely loving this, getting ready to celebrate. And you've got to say, Dion Parry's done a very, very good job of staying in this match at the end of the third set, playing a rock-solid tiebreak. And now she stands
at
multiple match point.
Merci.
9-3. 3-9, Anisimova serving. The rest of this rate, she'll do well to get this serve in. She just spins it in. Forehand return from Parry down the middle of the court. Backhand steered into play from Anisimova. Short backhand from Anisimova is sliced back by Parry. Backhand in the corner from Anisimova. Drop shot from Parry. In comes Anisimova. She's there. One up, handed up the line. The volley goes long from Anisimova. And she's done it. Dion Parry has beaten the number 6 seed, Amanda Anisimova. 6-3, 4-6, 7-6, winning the tiebreak 10-3, and is through to the last 16 of Roland Garros for the first time. Well done, Dion Parry.
Wow, I tell you, the French are very, very happy right now, and reason to be, because, like you said, I mean, I think throughout the match, he was so even-keeled, Dion Parry, just played great tennis, was able to really push, especially the slice backhand, Anisimova, to feel uncomfortable throughout this match, and the tiebreak was played so much better by the French woman. That was amazing. Anisimova again out of this tournament, but you have to give it to her after not playing since Miami to be able to come here and be competitive at least on a surface that is not easy to play on when you haven't played any matches, and fitness-wise, probably a very difficult task to do. So, yeah, Dion Parry, absolutely grand. We'll play against Swalinska, the qualifier. Very open draw. We had, we had Loïs Boisson last year. Well,
yeah.
Hey, here comes Dion Parry.
Amazing performance from her to get through to the fourth round. Yeah, you're right about Anisimova. I think she'll be all the better for this. But Parry is the victor, and we're going to hear from her with Caroline Garcia. Too much cheering for Dion Parry to start talking yet. Now she's just joining in. Oh, nice scenes. Great scenes in the crowd.
They're all ready for the football match tonight.
Not long. Under an hour to the start.
Dion, c'est la première fois que tu te qualifies pour la deuxième semaine d'un Grand Chelem. C'est ta deuxième top 10. La première, elle était venue ici même sur ce court. Quelles sont tes émotions? Comment tu te sens?
C'est asking what are your emotions?
Well, she's asking, this is only the second time that she beat a top 10 here on this court. So this is like an unbelievable feeling. You've been exceptional here, and the fans were exceptional. She can thank them, there's no doubt. It was a big day between the match and the final today and with the PSG. So I hope it's going to be 2-4-2. So now, just very, very happy, excited, and cannot wait for what's to follow and get ready. And she said, Caroline, so Dion, Paris est magique, is Paris magical? She says, oh yes.
Paris IS est magique.
Paris IS. Yeah, Paris with an IS is magical.
Contre une joueuse qui est très en confiance, qui
so you had a very solid match from a very good player.
Comment est-tu réussi à rester positive et
were you able to be so positive throughout the match?
C'était pas simple.
It was not easy.
Ça a été assez en dents de scie.
A lot of up and down.
Puissante et
agressive, que she's so powerful and aggressive. So it's hard to put your game together because you really feel like she's on you constantly. So it's hard to get really used to it. But she tried everything to bother her, and it worked. I really, really fought throughout the end, and it worked.
Du coup, c'est quoi le programme de cet après-midi?
So
parce que je crois qu'il y a un match de double.
What's next? Because I'm supposed to play doubles now.
Je sais pas où est-ce qu'on va le caser, celui-là.
I don't know where we're going to put this one, but we have to hurry, obviously.
La finale du PSG,
so
ça
she me, hopes
ça
that she can see the final of PSG, because it's in my heart, of course.
Je sais pas quelle heure il est, mais soit j'enchaîne tout de suite sur le double, soit
I'm not sure what time it is, but I hope we're finishing now and we're going right away, or we gotta play it after, way later. So she thinks she's gonna go and play doubles now.
Diane Paris, well, dernière luck, française qualifiée pour la deuxième semaine.
Diane Paris. Oh, what a story so far. I mean, we're getting the Kwame story. We're getting the Diane Paris story. What else can happen? Come on,
you're
this
not,
is good.
You're not excited, are you, Sophie?
I am thrilled. Not really excited. I'm thrilled. Come on, Kwame, where is he? 5-4, serving for the set at 40-30.
Stefan, is there a fader for taking Sophie down a little bit?
I'm out of here, guys. I am so happy, and I am leaving you, and you're in good hands. Enjoy, everybody at home, wherever you are, and, of course, Eleanor and Chris Bowers are with you. Au revoir, tout le monde.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie.
And hello, Eleanor.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yes, I was very pleased about that. I was quite pleased that it ended on her hitting her one-handed backhand up the line after that awful decision to play a two-hander in the middle of the tiebreak, which was just such a... went against everything that she's done so well in this tournament. I can understand her slicing her return of serve, because that was what really threw Anisimova over. But I think, again, one of the things that we're seeing a lot at this tournament, if you haven't played a lot of matches... I had this with Djokovic yesterday. I think he was caught out not by fitness or heat. He was just caught out by the fact that he hasn't played many matches. And Anisimova hasn't played many matches. There is something about match toughness.
Well, you can't replicate those moments in a match tiebreaker at the end of a third set with a full crowd on a full court and all of the emotions. And you can't replicate that on a practice court. Doesn't matter how intense your practice is or how much fitness work you do. It's impossible. You can only live it and breathe it here. Now, Anisimova has a lot of experience of big courts and big matches, but she didn't... I don't think she handled the situation at the end there as well as Parry did.
No, I agree. And she got very, very nervous. Just going to break off for a second, because one of the breakthrough names of this tournament, Moise Kwame, has set point against Alejandro Tabilo, the left-handed Chilean. We're just waving goodbye to Sophie, because I think her blood pressure can't take it if Kwame actually wins this. Forehand from Tabilo, deep to the forehand of Kwame, into out winner. And if you thought 15,000 people on the Philippe Chatrier could make a noise, listen to that. 10,000 on the Suzanne Longlen.
And you'll be able to hear that all around this area. I can tell you as I walk in, we're staying very, very close by, and you can hear every cheer, particularly from court Suzanne Longlen, and they'll be hearing that one.
They certainly will. It's interesting, there's a lot of noise going around the grounds there. I went out to the Simon Mathieu to watch a bit of the Berrettini-Comesania match, because I was on that court last year, and it was like a war zone. But of course, middle Saturday last year was also UEFA Champions League final. And it was so loud. Today, much quieter. A few fireworks, yes, but it's nothing like the sort of that feeling of the first time feeling that Paris Saint-Germain had last year. So it is slightly less charged today, but it's still very noisy. I think Simon's watch is wrong. The final starts in an hour and three quarters. He said less than an hour. Or does it start?
It charges at 6 o'clock.
It starts at 6 o'clock. Oh, it is,
yeah.
Right.
It's, yeah.
6 o'clock.
It's okay. In Budapest, of course, not actually in Paris, but there will be lots of fans gathering nearby at Porte Saint-Cloud, very close to here,
well,
which is the centre of Paris Saint-Germain.
I suspect Diane Paris will probably get permission to play her doubles at 9 o'clock tonight or even tomorrow.
Well, I think right now she can probably get anything she asks for.
Yes, exactly.
But it was a great performance from her. I think she was crafty. I think she was clever. I think she was calm. And she executed her game plan really, really well against Anisimova. I think the American will be back. I think I agreed with Simon and Sophie, and you were saying that she'll be better off for this.
Yes,
she'll have
I agree.
Benefited from this time on court.
Three matches on court. Big stadiums.
Going into the grass court season, she obviously does have a lot of points to defend. She was Wimbledon runner-up last year. And having that match time, I think, will stand her in better stead going into that next phase of the season.
So let's just bring you up to date with the scores so far. We've just had Deanne Parry beating Amanda Anisimova through to the fourth round. And we told you Moise Kwame has taken the first set against Alejandro Tabilo. On the Courtes Amateur, they're in the fourth set of the Berrettini-Comesagna match. And that is looking like it's going to a fifth set. Berrettini leads 4-2 in the fourth set. He's 2-1 down. Having said that, he was 4-1 up in the second against Comesagna, and Comesagna played some sublime tennis. He's a slight figure. I don't know how tall Comesagna is. I need to look that one up. But he's just such a slight figure, but boy, does he move well. One of the many Argentinians is doing well.
Well, Berrettini was somewhat belatedly Xi Ji's backup pick.
Right.
Which is a new rule that's come in this year. It came in around the time Sinner went out.
Funny that, isn't it? Yes.
She thinks Berrettini's going to make the final now.
Right. Do we have the match between Matteo Arnaldi and Rafael Collignon? And that's just started on court 14. Arnaldi has an early break in that one by 2-1 and serving. And then on court 7... Juan Manuel Cerúndolo, the man who put out Jannik Sinner. Six four. Cerúndolo won the first set. His brother went out earlier today, we should say, but the younger Cerúndolo is still in the competition. 6-4 against Martin Landaluce from Spain. The Spaniard took the second on a 9-7 tiebreak. It's on serve 4-3 Landaluce in the third set.
Well, it's quite a lot to back up that win over Sinner, isn't
Very
it?
Much.
You think,
yes.
Oh, well, you've beaten the world number one. You could do anything now. You're going to be dangerous now. But quite often we do see players have a letdown in the match that follows.
We're leaving our sound effects on the Kwame Tabilo match until we get Goff and Potapova coming on to Shatri. That's going to be our focus for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. Because that's going to have to go up, and they'll be hoping that that one's completed by at least 7:45, so that we don't get late. Now then, what's going on Suzanne Longlone? Oh, they're doing some court repairs, I think. There's a little bit of... Well, the court was swept, but... I don't know. I think it was watered, excessively watered. And one of the players has asked for it to be re-swept, re-dragged. I don't know if you say sweep the court these days. It's more dragging, isn't it? Because they use these nets.
I loved, and this came from Sophie, that the French verb for that motion
ballet.
They're doing, because I said it was like a ballet,
like
when
a ballet.
They all
yes,
come
indeed.
On and move around. And
they do move in sequence.
And it's beautifully done, but...
Yes.
Ava Ezdraki just coming down and supervising that one.
It's now over 5 minutes since the last point. So first point of the second set, it's Tabilo serving. Back and return from Kwame. Forehand from Tabilo. Backhand Kwame digs this one out. Down the line from Tabilo is netted. I thought Tabilo might actually win this one comfortably. I've already got that wrong because he's a set down. But credit to Kwame's physical ability because he's 17 years old and he's come back after that 4.75-hour match in the last round, the five-setter.
And obviously we haven't seen much of this because we've been focusing on the Parry Anisimova match, but he looks reasonably sprightly. It must be if he's won the first set because the points are not going to be short against Tabilo.
Tabilo from the president's box end. There is a president's box at Suzanne Longlin. Forehand from Tabilo off the top of the net and drops just over.
Can't against.
Is this going to be the day of the French players?
Wow.
What a day.
On the daily newspaper that they print here, the Roland Garros Daily, they had photographs of Parry and Kwame. So they've had one winner so far of those two. Backhand from Kwame, forehand from Tabilo. Forehand from Kwame is lofted high. Tabilo back pedals. Where will that land? It's just long.
40-15.
Well, the shadows now on court, Suzanne Longlin, are almost entirely symmetrical, splitting the court as we look down it, which is lovely for those spectators on one side of the court, and the other spectators who are still sitting in the sun are probably
right in their eye,
probably feeling very jealous.
Yes. Tell you, it's not easy to play. That's an ace from Tabillo, and he holds serve.
No,
the
ball.
The second set.
Sorry, Chris. The ball coming flying out of the shadows must be difficult. Constantly having to sort of recalibrate your eyes.
Just to give you the results so far from today, we told you about Parry beating Anisimova, and she will play Kvalinska, Maja Kvalinska from Poland, qualifier, who's reached the fourth round. She beat Maria Sakkari, 1-6, 6-2, 6-3, former semi-finalist here, Sakkari. Diana Schneider beat Alexandra Oleynikova. In a particularly bad-tempered match, not just because it's a Russian against a Ukrainian, but there was an awful lot of slightly inflammatory language in the press conferences after the previous round. And even though Oleynikova lost that one, her press conference was full today. Journalists looking for a little bit of spice, I think. But Schneider winning that one, 7-5, 6-1. Winner of that plays in Boca or Keys. And Naomi Osaka had a very long match against the young Californian, Iva Jovic. Osaka winning 7-6, 6-7, 6-4. And she will now play Aryna Sabalenka, a winner 6-love, 7-5 over Daria Kazatkina.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, that'll be... I suspect it's the kind of thing that's a bit like the Swiatek-Osaka match a couple of years ago.
I hope so, because that was an absolute cracker. Watched a little bit. I was on air with Gigi this morning watching that Jovic and Osaka match. And I really enjoy watching Naomi Osaka on play.
Yeah, because it's not a natural surface.
Possibly more than she enjoys playing.
I think that's quite right.
But I think you see more elements to her game, and I think you see her having to work things out a bit more. She's such a clean ball striker, and we're used to her on hard courts, particularly in her, you know, pomp where she was winning Grand Slam titles, just hitting with so much power. But you can't get away with that on clay. You have to come in with other craft, and we got a really good audio feed of what the coaches were saying, and that was fascinating.
What's interesting about both Sabalenka and Osaka, they've both won four majors, both won two Australian, two US Opens. So neither of them have won a slam off hard court. I would love both of them to win at least one of either here or Wimbledon, because I think they are quality players.
I agree, and I think they probably don't get, because of their power almost, they don't actually get the credit for some of the variety that they have, and both of them have developed that over the course of their careers, and you actually see it more on clay.
Only two matches so far completed in the men's today, eight men's, eight women's on the order of play. Flavio Caboli had a very good win over Lerner Tien. I think Tien was a little bit sort of jaded after his five-setter in the last round. Caboli winning 6-2, 6-2, 6-3. And he will now play Zach Schweider, the American, who I'd never seen play until Roland Garros this year. He came through in five sets. He was two sets to love up on Francisco Cerúndolo. Cerúndolo got back to 2-2, but Schweider took it in the fifth. So the 25th seed goes out, but there is still one Cerúndolo left, at least at the moment.
Yes, I thought Schweider was really fun to watch, actually. He's got a kind of quite a laid-back, lackadaisical style, but it belies, actually, quite a lot of power and guile. But he's fun to watch. I'd certainly be looking out to see how he does as the tournament goes on.
Well, there were three really big, promising youngsters who were highlighted at the start of Roland Garros, just to see how far they'd go. They're all still in. Hodar, who doesn't play today, he plays tomorrow. Kwame, who's on court now. And Landa Luthe, who's on court now. It's been absolute breakthrough years for all of them. I think Hodar is further forward than any of them, but it's been an amazing breakthrough tournament for so many players.
Well, we saw one yesterday make quite the breakthrough, didn't we?
Yes.
In João Fonseca. And that really did feel like the changing of the guard, didn't it? With 20 years separating those two players as Fonseca knocks Djokovic out in a match I think that will live long in the memory.
It will. I spoke to a Serbian journalist today who said, for the first time I thought, Djokovic can't hang there now. That he just doesn't have the endurance. He had to have won it in four sets. Once it was in a fifth, he said, I couldn't say. I have to say, we're watching the fifth set. I felt Djokovic was hanging on. The fact that it was 7-5 is, to Djokovic's great credit. But he played so well for 2.5 sets and then couldn't sustain it.
Well, I think the changing conditions probably helped
helped Fonseca, yes.
And therefore, it didn't hinder Djokovic, but just made the job a bit more difficult. Fonseca able to control his shot-making a little bit more. He almost had too much power in the first couple of sets when it was hotter. The ball was flying around and Djokovic was bossing things.
Can I say happy days for the Fonseca? You have to be of a certain age and be familiar with American television to get that.
I did not have that on my bingo card, Chris, I have to say.
Didn't you?
You coming up with that one, but I'm here for it.
Okay. There was a TV series called Happy Days where the main character was called the Fonz. And so hence my reference to Fonseca. Okay, one all on Court Suzanne Longlen between Kwame and Tabilo. We're going to go on to Philippe Chatry now because we have players. They are doing the coin toss at the moment.
Okay, you serve. Okay, picture this side, please, de l'autre côté, enfants.
C'est le joli souvenir pour Amir et Pauline.
So the two mascots, Amir and Pauline, are posing with Goff and Potapova.
Bravo, c'est tout bon.
And getting a nice little bit of affirmation from the umpire there. Well done, you did very well.
Yes.
And they did indeed.
And that's their big moment. They'll have been looking forward to it all day. I wonder whether they keep a reserve mascot in case... Oh, this is interesting music.
I feel like it's going to be high noon for you and I, Chris.
Oh,
OK. It's like we're going out to a gun battle at the OK Corral.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how many people watch this match, because in half an hour's time, there's a slight counter-attraction in a different sport, which I gather is quite popular.
It's an odd choice. I mean, the DJ's done some wonderful work so far in this first week, but this is an odd choice.
The DJ's done some wonderful work if you like his choice of music. His or her. I don't know who the DJ is.
Yes, either way. But I think there's been quite a good eclectic mix of musical tracks. We've had a bit of Harry Styles. Yes. We've had some old classics. We've had some Neil Diamond. We've had some French classics last night. And now... I feel like we've got the theme tune to Zorro.
It's beautiful trumpet playing.
I mean, it's
the most gorgeous bit of trumpet playing.
It's just a little incongruous.
Slightly, but I'm enjoying it, I have to say.
3 minutes.
Not Coco Gauff. Give me Anastasia Potapova thinking of it.
Give me a good musician any day.
Placé aujourd'hui à la 28e place mondiale.
Mark Murray has silenced them. He's giving his introductions to the players. 28e joueuse mondiale.
En junior, elle avait remporté Wimbledon chez les juniors en 2016, devenant numéro 1 mondial.
He's introducing Potapova at the moment.
Saison junior.
Who was the junior Wimbledon champion back in 2016, the girls singles champion. She also was ranked number one in the junior rankings that year, but never didn't finish the year number one, so it doesn't count as a world junior champion.
I must say, I really like Potapova's dress. She's wearing a one-piece, I think it's a one-piece, dark blue dress.
It's one piece at the front, it's two pieces at the back.
Very classic, beautifully cut, and extremely stylish. Coco Gauff has opted for long sleeves, which is a bold choice in these conditions.
It's her warm-up, isn't it? Won't you take that off and...
I would think you'd be warm enough just walking out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
But
unless
it's a kind of soft
sleeves.
Yeah, it's a soft baby pink top with a grey skirt.
Yeah, it's a nice combination.
And she's wearing a matching pink headband.
Is it a headband or a visor?
I think it's a headband.
You're right. She does tend to wear a visor, but I always prefer the headbands or the bandanas because you see more of their face.
Are you a cap man, a visor man, a headband, a bandana?
I wear a bandana whenever I can, unless it's really sunny, in which case I'll wear a cap. That was because years ago, my fringe was getting in my face, and those days are long gone. My fringe is nowhere near my face these days. But when you sweat, for that sweat to get into your eyes, it's very painful. And therefore, I still wear the bandana. And I much prefer that to the cap.
1 minute.
But, yes, I sometimes talk to the photographers because I tend to prepare my matches very close to the photographer's area. And they hate it when players wear caps because they just can't get good shots of the faces.
Yeah, so too much shadow over the face. You can't really see faces. You can't see players' expressions. I always think when players...
You also can't see their bank balance. And in particular, the item on the bank statement that shows how much the cap manufacturer pays them for wearing the cap to have the logo.
Well, I think the same applies for press conferences. I think when players wear visors or caps to press conferences, it's quite hard to really engage with what they're saying because you can't see their eyes, you can't see their faces. But you're right, caps and headgear of all sorts is a very important part of the apparel sponsors and what they do, and they use the players kind of as human billboards.
Didn't want to talk too much over Mark Moriba, but Potapova is 25 years old from Saratov in Russia, but in November of last year she announced that she'd be playing for Austria. Don't think she's got a particularly strong connection to Austria. I think it's probably it's a lot easier to get visas for tournaments if you're from a country like Austria than a country like Russia in the current international climate. She has three titles, the latest of which was in Cluj in Romania last year. She also won in Linz in 23, Istanbul 22. She has three doubles titles. She's ranked 30th. Her career high was 21, but that was 3 years ago. Goff is the world number four, fourth seed. She's 22 years old from Delray Beach in Florida. They're the same height, these two, 1 meter 75 or 5'9". Goff, the defending champion, sort of patchy form this year, but has had some good results. And it's Goff who'll get us underway. Serving from the president's box end, forehand return of serve, forehand from Goff. That's a good deep return from Potapova. Backhand from Goff to the Potapova backhand. That's onto the baseline from Potapova. Off Goff hits the net and it drops back her own side. And we have that situation which you sometimes get on semi-finals day. If you get a first semi-final that's really good, it captures the imagination. The second one starts just in a flat atmosphere. And after Parry's win on a final set tiebreak against the number six seed and Amanda Anisimova, we haven't even got 1,000 people in this stadium, I don't think. And it's a 15,000-seater stadium.
Well, I think that's exacerbated by the hot weather as well, because spectators want to go and take a break, get into the shade for a little bit and take on some fluids.
0-30.
Give themselves a break, because a lot of them have been sitting in fierce sunshine through that Parry-Anisimova match. But hopefully it'll start to fill up a bit. The concern is that kickoff for the big football match.
Which is in half an hour.
If you're not listening to us from a country where soccer or football is the sport of most popularity, it's hard to impress upon you quite what a big deal it is here in Paris to have Paris Saint-Germain in that final, and how much it's sort of absorbing all of the conversation.
Yeah, and it's not just that Paris Saint-Germain are a Paris team. Roland Garros is in the sporting quarter of Paris, on the sort of western edge of Paris. Goff at love 40 hits a big forehand into the bottom of the net, and Potapova takes a break to love in the opening game. This is very much the sporting quarter. There's two major race courses around here. There's the Parc des Princes, which is where Paris Saint-Germain play. The Stade Jean-Bouin, Stade Français play rugby there. We're very, very close to it. Both the Stade Jean-Bouin and the Parc des Princes have big screens in them today for people to watch the Champions League final, Paris Saint-Germain against Arsenal.
Short of being in Budapest, this is as close as you can possibly get.
I suspect that in Arsenal's ground in North London, they will also be showing it on a screen because, yes, it's sold out because in Great Britain it's on pay-per-view television only. Forehand from Goff is netted and she's yet to win a point. And Goff has taken off that. That was a warm-up top, the baby pink. And she's now in an all-grey, I think that's a dress, or is it a top and skirt combination? If it's a dress, it's got a very distinct waistband. Forehand return from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. Backhand Goff at the middle of the court. Backhand Potapova down the line. Forehand from Goff cross court. Forehand Potapova. Forehand from Goff. Forehand from Potapova off the top of the net. Sits up for Goff to tee off on this one. Driving Potapova to her forehand side. Forehand Goff. Forehand Potapova down the backhand wing. Goff with a defensive backhand. Goes very high. Where will that land? It's, just wide. You heard the scream from the line umpire.
Well, we're already seeing signs, aren't we, that Potapova is not going to be a pushover.
How long have you been preparing that one?
Actually, it was just off the cuff. But Yeah, this is going to be a tough day for Goff, potentially. Already a breakdown, and Potapova just looks very composed out there.
Potapova serving off the top of the net. I did watch a lot of her previous round match. She played Katie Bolter out on court 13, and the difference between 13 and Chatrier is night and day because of the playing area. Goff goes deep to the backhand. Now Goff with the backhand to the backhand of Potapova. Forehand Goff up the middle of the court. Forehand Potapova cross court. Sliced by Goff on the forehand. Onto the baseline of Potapova. Potapova nets, and Goff has a point.
Yes, there's a huge run back on this court in comparison to almost any other court here at Roland Garros.
Absolutely.
And the run back is, you know, gives you so many more options as to where you want to return serve in particular.
Run back behind the baseline, and there's also a lot of room at the side. And I was watching Potapova's patterns against Bolter. She loves that forehand cross court. In fact, whenever there was a sort of a high ball that was dropped on the forehand side, it was almost metronomic the way she went cross court. Potapova at 30-15. Serves to the forehand of Goff. Backhand from Potapova. Goff with a two-hander up the middle. Backhand from Potapova into out. Goff can't get that one back.
Well, Potapova's notched up 8 career wins over top 10 players. Beat Rybakina in Madrid. Came through there as a lucky loser. So she is not afraid of the big names. In fact, I think she'll be relishing this occasion.
Yeah. And I don't know how far she has to go to reach that career high ranking of 21. Maybe only one more round. Depends a bit what she did last year here. Because you keep your ranking points for 52 weeks. Potapova serves. Back and return from Goff is too long again. Goff's not quite got a radar. The umpire's off his chair, but I don't think he's going to overrule that one. The mark has been ringed by Potapova. Gets the umpire's blood circulating. Not that that's necessary on a hot day like this.
Potapova.
Sometimes I do think they just like to trot down.
Potapova.
Like the opportunity just to stretch the legs.
And it keeps the brain sort of fresh. A couple of scores elsewhere. And Matteo Berrettini has taken the fourth set. So that match against Francisco Comesaña is into a final set. They're 4 minutes short of 6 minutes short of 4 hours. Goff serves, backhand return. Forehand Goff up the backhand wing. That's too good. Clean winner from Goff.
15-0.
As you mentioned, Goff, the defending champion. I mean, her record here at Roland Garros is pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It's good, because she was a runner-up to Swiatek 3 years earlier. Goff serves just too long. And it's interesting, I think clay is her best surface.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to argue that on based on results alone, really.
Yeah, I think she's comfortable on it. Backhand from Goff, deep to the backhand of Potapova. Potapova wide. Good length from Goff.
30-0.
But I feel sometimes there's a bit of a contradiction with Goff in that she doesn't always look comfortable on it, but ends up winning matches on it.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Evert was a Floridian, and, you know, she grew up playing on clay. I think Goff has grown up playing more on hard courts. But there are a fair few clay courts in Florida, so she's probably had a fair bit of experience on the clay. As the return from Potapova goes long.
But also her attributes of her athleticism and her court coverage really come into their own on this surface.
Goff at 40 love. Serves into the net. Second serve. Is kicked to the backhand of Potapova, flattened out. Goff, very late on that backhand.
40-15.
She was very upright the way she hit it. It was like the knees didn't quite work.
Well, she nearly took out the Renault sign that's on the side of the net. Gave it a good old whack.
Goff at 40-15, not happy with the ball toss. A second attempt from Goff. It's into the net. Second serve from Goff. and deep to the backhand of Potapova. That's a lovely angle from Goff. A lob from Potapova. Goff down the middle. That's another second lob. Now Goff will smash this one conventionally. Puts sure it away. Goff. That was nicely done. And Goff opens her account. Potapova still with the break.
Potapova men deux jeux un.
Two games to one for the... I hesitate to call her an Austrian because I don't think she is Austrian. She's opted to play under the Austrian nationality.
Yes, and lives in Dubai.
And lives in Dubai, yes. Yeah. Well, I can tell you that the Juan Manuel Surundolo and Martin Landaluthe match, third set, is in a tiebreak, currently 4-2 to Surundolo.
Well, a lot of people talking about Landaluthe and another one of those exciting players coming up through the ranks, as Chris was saying earlier. Quite a few people have sort of picked him to go deep now that the draw
Everybody else is out.
The draw is in tatters.
Yes.
But he's in a battle there. And I actually think it was impressive the way Juan Manuel Surundolo kind of kept his own composure in the face of what was going on with Sinner, and because it was all about Sinner's body and what was going on, and sometimes having that happen at the other end of the court can really distract you.
And a very appropriate celebration from Surundolo when he won the match, just a clenched fist. He knew that there was an element of good fortune in that, and he admitted that in his on-court interview.
Yeah, there was he was very humble about it, but also, you know, you still have to win.
Yes.
Sinner, to his credit...
Carried on playing,
didn't retire.
And played better in the fourth and fifth sets than he had in the second half of the third. Well, Alejandro Tabilo has broken Moise Kwame and now leads by 4-2. And Matteo Arnaldi has a set point against Raphael Collignon. That's the first set of that one. Collignon, the Belgian who put out Ben Shelton a couple of days ago. Potapova at 2-1. It's a forehand to the forehand of Goff. Lofted by Goff is too long.
15-0.
And over on court, Simone Mathieu. Matteo Berrettini. Gigi's belated pick to reach the final finds himself in a fifth set.
You've got the night shift again tonight, haven't you?
I do.
Is that because you told Gigi that she couldn't have a belated pick? You do know who does the roster here, don't you, Elle?
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I'm happy, actually. You know, we had a very fun night shift last night, Simon and I.
Yes.
We had a really good competition going with tennis player names that sounded like drinks.
Drinks,
or vice
yes,
versa.
I know. You're into drinks. Yeah, well...
And we had the legend that is Pam Shriver coming up with her own drink pun on her name, which was...
Oh, yes. The Shriver driver or something? Or something like a play on screwdriver, wasn't it?
Screw Shriver,
there we go. Yes.
30-15.
So she won just by, you know,
just
virtue of being
Pam
Shriver.
Yes, quite.
But there was some crackers, and rest assured, I've got some ideas for this evening.
Oh, okay. Good. Right.
And also, we've got a little bit of tennis.
Well, absolutely. And
Nakashima versus Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Auger-Aliassime, it has to be a strong favourite to get to the final from the top half of the draw.
Well, he's the highest seed left in the draw.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's in some sort of form. Clay's not his natural service, but... worked for a little bit with Tony Nadal a few years ago, and it's certainly been a better clay quarter since. Potapova looking to wrong foot. Goff goes long, and it's 30-all.
Yeah, I think it's about, for a lot of these players actually, who now have much higher expectations on them, is how they handle the situation. You know, Casper Ruud was talking about this in his press conference yesterday, and he said a very interesting thing that, yeah, we're all feeling it.
Yeah, well, and he's been three Grand Slam finals, two of them here, one at the US Open.
Well, he made that point that I'm going to draw my experience. I feel like I'm in a good position because I know what it's like to go deep into a Grand Slam. I know what it feels like to reach the final. And I think that's a really good point, and that's where he and Sasha Zverev are in strong positions. Zverev, of course, the
high seed. Held to 30, sorry.
It's all right. I'll allow you to interrupt with the tennis. But Zverev is, of course, the number two seed and the highest seed left in the bottom half of the draw.
We'll give you some of the messages we've had from you at the next change of ends.
3-1 Potapova leading first set. And Juan Manuel Cerúndolo has taken the third set against Martin Landaluce. They both had five setters in the previous round. And I would probably venture to suggest that Cerúndolo's was slightly less taxing. So he leads by 2-1. Arnaldi has taken the first set against Collignon. And they're still in the second game of the Berrettini-Comesagna match. Goff at 15-love. Serves to the back end of Potapova. Potapova goes long.
30-0.
30-love on the Goff serve. And we have very pleasant late afternoon sunshine. There hasn't been the wind that they were forecasting for today. They said the wind would get up. And apparently it'll get up tomorrow as well.
Well, they forecasters are saying that this is the last day of this very hot spell that we've been in here in Paris.
Goff plays a volley, a drop volley, and nicely done.
And the conditions are due to change quite radically, really, tomorrow. We're going to essentially wipe 10 degrees centigrade off the temperature. And
when will it change? Will it change before the night or after the night?
The last forecast that I looked at, which was yesterday, I think, suggested it was going to just... It was going to be a cool change moving through during the night.
During the night, okay.
But I haven't looked today, I must confess. And if Bookworm is listening, Bookworm's always the source of actual expert information on this, other than the rest of us just looking at random ups on our phone and guessing.
Goff has held for 2-3. Kwame has got his break back, so he's serving at 3-4. And Eleanor has some messages.
I do. At @radio_RG on the X platform. And French Open Radio at fft.fr if you prefer email. Fiona says, good morning from Ronkonkoms Woods, New Jersey. Glorious morning. I'm an expat in the USA, rooting for the GB doubles players and Landaluce.
Expat from Great Britain, I assume that means.
I'm assuming so.
Yes.
And a couple of people I think were not able to see the Diane Parry and Amanda Anisimova match because some of the rights holders weren't showing it. So we're pleased to be of service. Simon and Sophie doing a fantastic job. Sophie, I think, was going to take the roof off the commentary box because she got so excited about Diane Parry's win.
Fortunately, we've got quite a high ceiling in this commentary box.
And I think she's gone for a lie down. But she certainly...
that's not in Sophie's makeup.
No, that's true. But certainly, Simon and Sophie bringing you all the excitement of that. And that's arguably the day's biggest upset.
Yeah, and it's a French victory Saturday afternoon on Philippe Chatrier, which is great for French sport. I don't think she's going to get many headlines tomorrow, though, given that the Champions League final starts in about 12 minutes with the Parisian team involved. Backhand from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. But Goff goes up the middle of the court. Potapova into the net, looking to go down the line. High part of the net. I don't think that would have cleared the central part of the net. And love 15 on the Potapova serve.
Justin from Verona says he prefers us to the US TV station that's showing the tennis. He says the level of knowledge and atmosphere your whole team brings to Roland Garros is uplifting.
Oh, thank you.
He also very much enjoyed your happy days for the Fonseca joke.
Sorry about that. Although when I was watching Fonseca yesterday, I just thought that is such an obvious one, and yet I appear to be the first to have come up with it.
I don't apologise to me. I love it. I love a cheap gag.
Okay. Fine. And you have to be of a certain age to remember happy days.
What are you saying, Chris?
What? Speak up. Potapova serves into the net. Second serve. Into the forehand of Goff. Big swing from Goff. Backhand from Potapova. Gets a good angle on that one, but Goff has read it. Forehand from Potapova down the corner. That's a great shot from Potapova. And there's the forehand cross court that I was saying about earlier. She loves that as a stroke, and when she connects, it is a beautiful stroke because she keeps it low.
Low and so deep on that occasion.
Yes, low doesn't always mean deep. 30-15. Potapova serves into the net. Second serve. It's a double fault.
30.
It's gone a bit quiet, hasn't it?
It has. It's filled up a little bit on Court Philippe Chatrier. Yes. We're probably a quarter full.
Yeah, I was going to say 3,000 or so, which would be a fifth, given that it's a 15,000 capacity stadium. Potapova, not happy with her ball toss. And then drops the ball at the end of it. So she has a quick little wander. Now is in position and now serves. Forehand return into the net from golf. I think profligate from golf at the moment. Slow start, you can understand. But, you know, that serve at 155 kilometres at 30 all into her hitting zone, that's a loose one. 40-30, Potapova serves, just too long.
Well, Potapova's serve just malfunctioning somewhat in this game. You would imagine this was an opportunity for Goff.
Indeed, second serve to the backhand of Goff. Forehand, backhand from Potapova to the backhand of Goff. Now at the middle, so Goff hits a forehand deep to the forehand of Potapova. That's cross court, forehand Goff. Potapova again goes cross court, but the net gets in the way.
Carlton.
And suddenly that missed return from Goff looks a little more costly because she could be looking at break points here. As it is juice on the Potapova serve and Goff just trying to assert a little bit more pressure.
Deuce. Potapova in bright sunshine. Again, not happy with the ball toss.
Perhaps too bright sunshine.
Yeah, it shouldn't be in her eyes there. It's far enough round. Into the net, the first serve from Potapova. Her shadow, it's not quite parallel with the baseline, but it's fairly close to it, not much of an angle. Forehand from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. Runs around a forehand, hit a backhand there. Now hits a backhand to the backhand of Goff. Goff goes deep onto the sideline. Oh no, it's called long. I think the umpire might have a look at that one, but Potapova has ringed it.
It was long and possibly wide as well, actually. And the umpire confirms the out call.
Yes, it was wide. It wasn't long. Certainly the mark that was ringed.
Which was an entirely different mark to the one Potapova pointed out.
Well, I did wonder that. I wonder how much the umpires keep their eye on the mark so that they're not influenced by the one that the player rings. Potapova at advantage into the net. This is a chance for Goff. This is not a clinical service game from Potapova. Backhand return from Goff up the middle of the court. Backhand from Potapova to the Goff forehand. Forehand from Potapova to the forehand of Goff. Forehand to forehand at the moment. Goff now goes at the backhand wing. Potapova goes cross court. Two-hander from Goff to the two-hander of Potapova. That's lofted by Potapova. Forehand from Goff. Backhand from Potapova. A lot of air on that one. Goff lets it bounce. Doesn't really force the pace and they're both happy to work from behind the baseline. Backhand from Potapova to the forehand of Goff. Potapova making good ground to her forehand but goes long.
She's still in this game, is Coco Gauff. Remember, she's a breakdown.
AGT.
So another chance at juice. As we've been saying, this is not a flawless game from Potapova on serve. She's struggling a bit with her ball toss, struggling to make first serves.
Potapova. Serving. Out wide to the forehand of Goff. Goff nets. Another one from Goff that... Mind you, how often have we said over the years that she's been on the tour that that forehand can break down? She's worked with a couple of coaches, but she's her main coach, which she's been with on and off a bit, but most of the time, is Jean-Christophe Forel. And they've never quite worked it out, have they?
It's quite difficult to deconstruct something as fundamental as a forehand at this stage of Goff's career. And Goff has slipped. Fallen over. She slipped over.
I don't think that was...
She's picked herself up. Yeah. And that's why the crowd are applauding. I think in relief as much as anything. Goff's just going to go and clean herself down, get rid of the clay from her legs. But yeah, that was just a wrong footing shot. And she just got her feet in a bit of a muddle. She's just getting some water, I think, to get the clay properly off her hands.
Yeah, you've got to do that. But then you want to get some water on your racket handle because you don't want the grit on your racket handle. And when she slipped, the racket went onto the court. And Goff is trotting back to her racket. I don't think the umpire has turned the shot clock on. Well, at the end of all that, Potapova leads by 4-2.
Just keep an eye on Goff and make sure that there are no ill effects from that fall. She got up very quickly.
I think she just tripped over her own feet. Goff serves. Backhand return. Forehand from Goff. Up the backhand wing. Sliced by Potapova. Goff's at the net. Lovely angled volley to win the point.
Much better from Goff.
Also interesting to see, whenever the Goff hits the ball into the body of Potapova, Potapova is looking to take it on the backhand. Most of the time you see players running around a backhand to hit the forehand. Not with Potapova. It's not that her forehand is bad. Backhand return to the forehand of Goff. He'll go cross court. Forehand from Potapova goes back across court. Forehand Goff. Forehand Potapova. Forehand Goff. Potapova again. Oh, this time she goes up the backhand wing. That's a change of direction for her. Now she goes cross court again to the forehand of Goff. Forehand from Potapova. Goff has the line open for her. But Potapova's there and hits the backhand into the open space.
Phenomenal hitting. And there were plenty of forehands in that rally. And she was pushing Goff further and further out of court when she found the opening. The backhand came back into play.
Yes, I thought the down the line was available for Goff there, but maybe it was, but she was just too far away from it because she couldn't get any purchase on that last forehand and left the whole court open. Goff at 15 all serves. A lofted return. Goff should kill that one. She does.
Well, that was slightly better than it needed to be. I had my heart in my mouth for a second there.
I did a bit.
She was hitting into the open court, went quite close to the line, but it was a very effective shot. And I think she knows that Potapova's court coverage is so good that you have to hit it well and hit it somewhere incredibly awkward. Otherwise, there's a fear that it's going to come back with interest.
Goff serves and the return is into the net on the backhand. 40-15. Goff with 2 points to keep the deficit to 1 game. Or to reduce it to 1 game, keep it to 1 break. Forehand return for the forehand of Goff. Goff's net, her forehand.
40-30.
It's a marathon 8th game of the second set on Suzanne Longlen, and that's just gone to Alejandro Tabilo. So 3 successive breaks in that set. So Tabilo will be serving to level that match against Moise Kwame at 1-all. Goff at 40-30. Too long on the first serve.
Well, that is going to be a test of Kwame, isn't he? After playing that long 5-setter in the previous round, if he ends up in a long match today, he's going to need the crowd behind him.
Big forehand from Potapova, and that's too good. And we're back at deuce here.
41.
Well, Goff tried to make some purchase on the Potapova serve in the previous game. Didn't manage, didn't even get a break point. Couple of deuces, but couldn't capitalise, and now she's under pressure herself again.
Goff serves out wide, forehand return is deep, forehand from Goff up the backhand wing. Didn't get the angle on that that she wanted, now has to play defensive backhand. Forehand from Potapova is a lovely wrong-footing shot. I say she favours the forehand cross-court, but she played the forehand down the line on that occasion to great effect, and that's twice she's done that in this game.
Well, she's come out here, Potapova, and she's playing extremely well, and Goff is struggling a little bit, struggling to find an answer.
Goff serving, break point down, but not for long. It's an ace down the centre. What happened to Potapova there?
I think she might have a little bit of clay in her eye.
Oh, yes, exactly. I was wondering that. She put her hand to her eye and then stayed standing with her back to the court.
Yeah, just apologising to Goff for delaying things.
It was a very good serve from Goff. I think it might have been an ace, regardless of whether any clay flew up into Potapova's eye. Goff at deuce. Serves to the backhand of Potapova. Backhand Goff letted. She's going into out.
Avantage, Potapova.
Not sure that's quite the right play. Or she doesn't want to be too predictable.
But at the moment, Goff is struggling to find a weakness that she can exploit.
Goff serving, break point against her. Put her first serve into the net. Second serve. To the the backhand of Potapova, forehand from Goff. Backhand Potapova, forehand Goff. Lofted to the forehand of Potapova. Goff with her forehand. Heavily topspun, but she's just trading punches at the moment. Forehand from Potapova down the backhand wing. Goff cross court. Backhand from Potapova. Goff will go up the forehand wing. Potapova goes cross court. Deep to the forehand of Goff. Forehand from Potapova down the line. Goff is there, but has to make a lot of ground. Now Goff goes up the line. Chopped forehand from Potapova. Goff comes into the net. Goes cross court with a winner. That was very good from Goff, because I wasn't convinced about